I am Planta on the line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Astra Taylor joins me again. Her film What is Democracy was critically acclaimed after being an official selection at the Toronto and Vancouver International Film Festivals. It is having a theatrical run here in Vancouver starting Friday the 7th of December with additional screenings from the 10th to Thursday the 13th. All screenings are at the Van City Theatre. Visit VIFF.org for tickets and information. The film comes at a critical moment. It looks at democracy and the challenges to it today. Astra takes the viewer through modern-day Greece and looks at its recent financial collapse and how the country has contended with the idea of democracy now and, of course, in the past, considering it is the birthplace of our conception of democracy. She goes to Italy as well as the United States, especially in the Trump era. It's fascinating. I'll get Astra to tell us about this documentary, her process in capturing the time, as well as how she films the intellectual process of researching and evolution in thinking. Astra Taylor is a filmmaker, writer, and political organizer. She has directed the philosophical documentaries Examined Life and Sizek. She was first on this program in 2014 when her critically acclaimed book, The People's Platform, Taking Back Power and Culture in the Digital Age, was published. An accompanying book to this film, Democracy May Not Exist But We'll Miss It When It's Gone, will be published in 2019. She joined me from New York City earlier this week. Please welcome back to the Planta on the Line program, Astra Taylor. Ms. Taylor, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So the title of the film, I guess, is a good place to start because it's something that someone says this in your film. What is democracy was never really answered or actualized throughout our history, has it?
No, I mean, the film, you know, the film is a philosophical film. And what I mean by that is the film is intended to sort of provoke and prod and unsettle and, you know, and not definitively answer the titular question. And for me, that's what philosophy is all about. It's about, you know, taking something that's everyday and making it strange again and asking ourselves, you know, do we really know what we're talking about? You know, we say this word all the time, democracy. It's basically banal, right? But when you pause and really start to think about it, it's actually a very elusive concept. And, you know, I began the project because I found that I didn't have a sort of satisfying answer. What I had actually when I began the project was a lot of disappointment around the term democracy, right? It was a word that it didn't really inspire me. You know, I was inspired by words like equality and freedom and justice and revolution, but the word democracy felt pretty hollowed out. You know, it felt like a word that people say when they don't really mean anything. But I did know enough as a sort of engaged person and as an activist, that it shouldn't be that way, that it's not a word that should feel empty. And so this film was born of a desire to sort of investigate the concept, and it was something I felt I could only do by engaging, you know, other people, the demos of democracy,
yeah.
And asking them what they thought, and so kind of engaging in this sort of collective philosophizing.
Yeah, even after watching the film, I realize that it's obviously far from perfect, whatever democracy might mean to me or to most people. But for you, after making the film, does it remain an ideal, say?
I think I've come more around to the idea of democracy. I think I was actually ready. There's a scene in the film where I'm beginning my dialogue that sort of weaves through the movie with Wendy Brown, and I say, gosh, you know, I wrestled with making this the theme of the film, but I kept coming back to democracy. And that's really honest, which is, you know, I put it in there because it's true.
Yeah.
I think when I started on the process, I thought, well, maybe I'll realize that actually we should abandon the word and come up with something new, come up with something better, right? Because, you know, maybe this word doesn't, maybe it's just too vague. Maybe it's just been too co-opted. But what I've come around to is the fact that its vagueness is part of its power, because it's this promise that just keeps expanding, and its meaning keeps growing. And so, you know, democracy, if we take the sort of definition from the Greeks, it's the people rule. And so what's so interesting is, well, who the people are keeps growing, right? It didn't include women for a long time, until very recently, you know. And now it does. It includes the people is this expansive concept. And, you know, I think, who are we to think that we're at the end of this, of of the growth of who is included in the demos. Right now, we see our societies are really battling, right, over inclusion and exclusion and who's in and who's out. And then the question of, you know, the people rule. So the question of how we rule and where we do it and how much power is shared and you know, what the rules are and what the responsibilities are, that's something that we have to keep debating. So the fact that the word has this sort of this quality of perpetual sort of expansion and this promise that can never be totally kept and has to be reevaluated, I think it's a good thing. I mean, democracy is a form of government that constantly questions its own legitimacy and its own form, and that's you know, and we want society to evolve and to change. I mean, certainly, I don't think we're at the end. Mm-hmm. We want us to be given the state of the world right now.
And
I've really come around to democracy.
Yeah. You take us to two countries in the film, and I was thinking just as I was watching the movie, you easily could have gone anywhere in the world to talk to people. But Greece and the United States in particular, I mean, now that I think about it, I mean, there are two no better places to go at this time to think about democracy, right? I mean, Greece is where it started, and obviously what's happened there over the last few years is fascinating to think about, considering what began there all those years ago, right?
Yeah. I mean, so I look at Greece and the United States along with this interlude in Italy that sort of it symbolizes the origins of finance and capitalism, mm-hmm. because I go to Siena, which is the site of actually the world's oldest existing bank that dates all the way back to the 1400s.
Yeah.
But yeah, Greece and the United States, they are countries that are sort of regarded and present themselves as sort of cradles of democracy and beacons of democracy. And, you know, the ancient Greeks came up with the term democracy. You know, of course, they didn't invent the practice. Like, the practice of self-government is something that human beings have engaged in. There's all sorts of different histories. But for better or for worse, they gave us the word and they've become a sort of pillar of, you know, our political tradition and a form of political theory and philosophy, because the minute that you had these assemblies that included, you know, the men who counted as citizens engaging in self-government, then, you know, suddenly they were also allowed to question, well, what should the rules be? What sort of government should we have? And so then suddenly political philosophy emerged, a certain type of political philosophy, and, you know, that we associate with Plato and Aristotle and the Sophists and the roots of that tradition. So it seems like a really rich place. I think it was also quite interesting because I was looking at Plato's Republic, which is this founding text of political theory of that tradition. It's a very sort of anti-democratic text on the one level, and mm-hmm. has these, I think, subterranean democratic ideas woven into it. But he warns of the demagogue. He warns basically that when the gulf between the rich and the poor gets so great, there are going to be these opportunistic demagogues who say, you know, hey, I'll solve all your problems, and they tend to be a rich guy who's this, you know, egomaniac. And lo and behold, you know, the United States fell right into a demagogue's arms. And there's a case to be made that the election of the progressive coalition Syriza, the coalition of the radical left, you know, Tsipras, who leads that party, is certainly not a demagogue in the mode of Donald Trump, but it was this idea, you know, basically it was the people of Greece in 2014 electing, you know, someone in the wake of the financial crisis who they thought could help their financial problems and address the issues of oligarchy. And basically what happens in the film is, you know, what I show the way that the sort of international markets blocked that that the desire of the Greek population from manifesting and sort of undermined the democratic sovereignty of the Greek people today. So, but the thing is, you know, in both countries, Greece and the United States, there are major problems that are flowing from economic inequality.
Right.
Economic inequality that, you know, we know globally is on a scale that, you know, rivals the Gilded Age, and where a handful of people, eight men supposedly, you know, control half of the wealth of the world, according to Oxfam's latest statistics.
Yeah.
So, you know, oligarchy on a scale that Plato never could have imagined, that's for sure.
Yeah, so if money is the problem, then, I mean, and I think one can realize the role it plays in our society. How do we get it out? And I mean, do you talk to people in the film you talk to a number of people in the film that realize that that's the problem. What do they suggest in terms of how to deal with it?
Yeah, I mean, so the film is partly born of my experience as an activist working on economic justice issues. And day-to-day life, I have a lot of engagement with trying to figure out strategies to work on issues of inequality. And I wanted the film to sort of operate on this philosophical register. So, it's not a film that goes, okay, these are the 10 problems and these are the 10 solutions. But the film is trying to communicate is the fact that, there are reasons why we're in a particular bind. So on the one hand, the film is saying, look, the problems of inequality and the instability that causes and the challenges to democracy posed by inequality are old. They go all the way back at least to Plato, right? Here he is writing about them, and the Democrats of ancient Athens were very concerned about oligarchy, and they developed techniques to mitigate against rule of the rich. And so one was that they used the lottery system instead of elections, because if you are electing people, then, the more powerful, well-born, and rich have an advantage when running for office. But if you use the lottery system, then opportunities are broadly shared, whether someone's rich or poor. They also compensated people for their time in the assembly or in the juries so that poor people could participate and deliberate next to rich people. And this made the oligarchs of Athens, the aspiring oligarchs, really pissed off. They hated this. They hated that they had to rub shoulders with the poor.
Yeah.
So, the film is also saying people have creatively addressed these issues in the past, but the film, a thread of the film is the power of markets, because markets have internationalized. We do live in a sort of international financial reality, and there are legal regimes that lock in the power of these global economic relationships, trade deals, and structures like the WTO and the IMF and the World Bank that sort of exist there to create a sort of economic order. And it's hard for regular citizens to combat powers that are so distant and so obscure. And so the film is kind of saying, okay, it's okay that we're having a hard time, because these are actually really tough issues. But the one thing I think the film does say is that if we're going to build power on a bigger stage, on a bigger scale, we can't get around the fact that we have to do it where we are, right? We have to, democracy is ultimately people doing things together. I mean, that was actually the ancient definition, the capacity to do things together. So we can't cheat and just jump to the higher level. We have to build power in our communities, and we have to think about economic democracy, not just political democracy.
And I guess the best place is the home, because you talked to Sylvia Federici. It's a beautiful sequence, and we see this throughout the film of the two of you standing. I guess it's a fresco that you're looking at. What is the piece of art that you're looking at?
Yeah, it's an amazing fresco that I read about in a book, and I was just really smitten with the title. So the title is The Allegory of Good and Bad Government and its Effects on the Countryside and the City. And I believe it is the first secular fresco painted in 1338 in Siena. And it was painted, so Siena was this republic. It was a city-state, so democratic for its time. But it was run by an oligarchy of merchants and bankers who had this sort of rotating system of control. So, the oligarchs sort of rotated authority amongst themselves. And they painted this beautiful fresco as a reminder to themselves that, they should be just rulers. And, of course, that means it's sort of a fraught thing, because there's sort of democratic or sort of idealistic elements of the fresco, but then there's kind of troubling ones. But one of the messages that these oligarchs are sending to themselves is, let's not get too greedy here, because when we're greedy, we'll destroy the society that we're in charge of. So you see on one side of the fresco just this devastation and what happens when greed rules, and on the other hand, you see what happens when you have more benevolent leaders and people are allowed to flourish. And so it's from another time, and it's centuries old, and it's full of these sort of strange symbols and virtues that are a bit out of date. But what it
it's also very graphic too.
Yeah, it's very graphic. I mean, it's almost like a movie for that era, because you would read the fresco left to right on three giant walls. So yeah, it gave me a space to kind of have a visual motif in the film. And then Sylvia Federici, who's a socialist feminist scholar, and just a lovely woman all around. We just sort of puzzle over the painting and interpret it and apply it to the modern world. And I think it also allowed me to show thinking actually happening live.
Right,
because
right.
Thinking is a kind of hard thing to capture on film.
Yeah, I don't know how long you spent together, but we see this throughout the film, and I can't help as I'm watching this thinking what an engaging conversation this must be for you, but also her. Because when you just mentioned thinking, we see that in you, and how
yeah.
you have your ideas and then you share them with her. But the point in your conversation that I found fascinating was when she talked about the history of women and not
yeah.
at the beginning of democracy not being treated well, and that democracy in the home means democracy in the country. How does she
yeah.
sort of actualize that, if you will? I mean, how does that happen
yeah.
in her view?
I love that, you know, you picked up on it, because to me it's sort of it's the coda of the film, and it's sort of the key that
yeah.
unlocks a lot of how the film is structured. I mean, so the film weaves together, you know, the intellectual and the emotional,
yeah.
the general and the particular. So, you know, the personal and the political. So it's sort of like, you know, we have to think about these abstract concepts, but then ultimately they have to be lived out by real human beings, you know,
mm-hmm.
who have feelings and aren't just, you know, they're not just abstractions, right? And so the feminist challenge, you know, that, you know, the personal is political, I think is, you know, it means we can't, as she says, we can't just have changes of government. We really have to, if we want to keep expanding this concept of democracy, we have to expand it to other corners of the life that have sort of been, you know, cordoned off from politics. And that's why the film looks at, you know, schools, prisons,
yeah.
Healthcare is a recurring theme of the film. All these areas of life, all these institutions that have, you know, power over us or that we depend on, these should also be sites of democracy. The workplace, of course, you know, and workers having power and running enterprises for themselves. So I think for Sylvia, it's, you know, it's how she lives. It's also pushing for a feminist understanding. Her biggest intellectual, she sort of had two main intellectual contributions. So one is a reading of, actually, so from the era and before, so from the Middle Ages into the Renaissance, in a way that actually, when capitalism was just beginning, you know, we often talk about the enclosure movement, but she talks about how that specifically affected women of the period, because as farmers were kicked off the land, women's power were actually diminished. It's not like it was a heyday for women,
uh-huh.
but that they, as a sort of like male breadwinner model, women actually were, what rights they had were actually taken away, and the women who fought back were actually the witches. Those were the women who were burnt at the stake. So she's written some really interesting histories there. And then in the modern era, her contribution has been to try to value what's called reproductive labor, to say, yes, there's this whole world of work that's paid for. That's the work that we associate with labor unions and, you know, having careers. But that wouldn't exist if there wasn't all this domestic work that made workers. There wasn't all this unpaid labor happening in the home, you know, the labor of everyday life. So, you know, our system tends to not, it's not just that it doesn't value it, but it kind of doesn't take it seriously.
Mm.
And so the feminist intervention is to say, you know, maybe that's the serious work, because that's the whole, that's like what we count and what's paid for and what, you know, those important jobs are really just the tip of the iceberg. And there are all of these, there's this whole, you know, mountain of labor being done, or there's this assembly line below the assembly line. And so I think, you know, she's definitely changed the way I see work and, you know, understand what's valued in our society. And in a more democratic world, what kind of work would be considered important and would be remunerated?
We've talked about Sylvia Federici and just how inspiring she is and how she takes such complicated things and really makes them very simple.
Yeah.
She's one of many people that you talk to in the film. Cornel West is another one. I mean, that must have been fascinating just to sit there. I mean, I found him watching him in your film mesmerizing. I can't imagine
yeah.
what that was like to be in person.
Yeah. I mean, I cast the film. The intellectuals in the film are people I had a connection to. So Cornel
mm-hmm.
West is in my film Examine Life, so I carried him over. Sylvia Federici, I actually know from activism, from the activist world. I
I knew her first. I think I might have even first met her at a protest march. Wendy Brown, who is a brilliant political theorist who's in the film, is actually, I know, through Judith Butler, who was in Exam in Life. So I think, you know, the film is so epic. What is democracy? That question is so epic. But I felt I could only ethically approach it in a sort of idiosyncratic way, right? In a way, it's sort of like everyone on Earth, everyone who lives in a democracy should be able to make a film, what is democracy? And so I couldn't, you know, pretend my film was definitive. And so it's personal, and it's me, it's sort of my journey trying to understand this concept so that people are connected to me in some way.
Not so well-known people that you talk to in the film are also fascinating. I found inspiring the school children that you talked to. Where was that?
So I speak to two groups of school children from an inner-city after-school program in Overton, Miami. So a very poor neighborhood. It was called Colored Town under Jim Crow. And these, basically, I asked them about whether they experienced democracy at school and how democracy is presented to them. And it turned into a conversation that I didn't anticipate, because they are some of the most astute observers of our society's anti-democratic nature and the sort of it's easy to be an adult and be sort of like, oh, the solution for our democratic problems is education. If only we had, educated citizens. What you get from these kids is that they have astonishing capacity. They understand the way the system is working. And what's happening is that, they're being taught that their voices don't matter. That's actually what they're being taught. Mm-hmm. And they are being punished for advocating for their rights. And so that scene, I just remember at the end of it, my sound guy was like, getting teary-eyed. And he was like, don't mind me. There's just something in my eye. Because we were so blown away by how astute they were. And it
breaks your heart when you think that they're hooped from the beginning,
And one of them says, you've just got to, it's like Darwin, he says, basically. This, 13-year-old kid, he's like, it's like Darwin, it's survival of the fittest, so I've got to keep my head down. And I just thought, wow, if I went to, Wall Street and some guy told me it's like Darwin, he would say, yeah, it's like Darwin, I'm on top and you're not. And this kid is saying, yeah, survival of the fittest means that I have to basically, suffer this abuse and not ask for anything better. And, so it's, I didn't want to make a film that had a sort of false sense of hope. For me, the kids give me hope because they have this capacity. But it's also, it's a sad scene because we see that they're up against these structures that are kids,
How have you viewed, Astra, how the film has been received? Because a lot of people must be telling you that it spurred them on to think about what democracy means for them, and probably in a different way than before they saw the movie.
Yeah. Well, gosh, I mean, I will never get tired of people telling me that, because, I really genuinely, I made this film out of such a sincere impulse and an impulse to question and to engage and to start the conversation. And, I started it before there was such a sort of palpable and common, where the opinion that democracy is in crisis is so common, because I wrote the first email to the National Film Board of Canada in 2013. And so it's not like at that point there was this wide consensus that we were in a moment of crisis, quite the opposite. It was kind of a complacent moment. So the fact, I think the film did, it's come out at a very interesting time. It's not the time I sort of anticipated when I began making it. And people are so hungry to grapple with this topic and to think about it. And the fact that I'm able to contribute to that process in any way is just so gratifying because I worked really hard on this movie. And, and it doesn't have blockbuster written all over it. It's, to make a film that is a philosophical film is a bit of a risk, and I really am so grateful to the National Film Board that they got on board with it, because it is not, a conventional film, and I don't think it's something anyone else would support. And the conversations, I've shown it now, in Canada and the United States, but also in Portugal, and now Skype allows me to Skype into, the Netherlands and Austria and all of these screenings around the world, and I see what a global crisis this is right now, and how anxious people are far and wide. And so I hope that the film plays some positive role in helping us think our way through this mess.
Now, I understand you're working on another book now. Is that right?
Yeah, and that's part of why it was a little bit hard for you to pin down, because I literally just turned it in about 36 hours ago. So there's a book that will be coming out in either end of March or early April, and it's called Democracy May Not Exist, But We'll Miss It When It's Gone, and it's inspired by the film. There's sort of anecdotes from the film woven throughout, but it's my thinking made more explicit. And so that has also been a really satisfying process, you know, just sort of figuring out more, you know, even in more detail what I think about democracy and its sort of potential and its pitfalls. And also it's wonderful when you're editing a film to know, okay, I might have to cut this thing I really like, but I can put it in the book.
Yeah. I remember I talked to you for The People's Platform. I found that such an engaging book, and so I can't wait to read this forthcoming one. But there's something unique about this film and why people should see the movie. We touched on it a moment ago, and there's something in film that you can capture. I mean, there are moments in this movie that are so beautiful. We mentioned, you know, talking to Federici and you working in out, you know, talking out loud how your own thinking's changed. I mean, you can't, you might be able to write about it in a book, but you won't be able to see it unless you see this movie, right?
Oh, I think that's actually a really good point. A book is not a way to show, like, in a book you can narratively, you know, try to bring people along as your thought evolves, but you can't actually show the thinking. So I think that's really true. There are certain things that film does much better than writing, and I think capturing thoughts and also just capturing the sort of character of people's faces and their emotions. And so you know, it's quite a pleasure to be able to work in both mediums and sort of write with both of them, because they are different. And so my book editor actually finally saw the movie a couple of weeks ago, and she was like, oh, wow, they're so different. You know, the movie is so much more emotional.
Yeah.
And I think that's because the movie allows us to empathize on a much deeper level than my limited writerly skills.
Yeah, I mean, you go to a Trump rally. And, you know, right away when I say that, I'm sure people listening to us might have their preconceptions about what that might be like. But then when you get to talk to the people that you do talk to attending the rally, you gain some insight that you might not get, you know, had you read, say, a newspaper article or a written account of your conversation with them.
Yeah, and you know, the people I speak to I went and pursued talking to people who are younger, because I also, you know, I didn't want to revert to any sort of like cliches about who his supporters were, because, you know, a lot of them are women, a lot of them are young.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I engaged them, you know, I really tried to have a serious conversation. And, you know, we had profound disagreements that I was honest about. But, you know, at the end of that conversation, one thing they all said to me was, you know, thank you for actually listening to us. And that was something I really tried to have an ethos of listening, you know, to anyone I was engaging with. I really just didn't want to feel that I was trying to get something out of them, you know, like, oh, I got to get the sound bite or get the nugget or, you know, I just really tried to have an attitude of presence, and this is a human being in front of me, and I'm going to let the conversation go where it takes me, you know, instead of trying to put it into a box in advance.
So I enjoyed the film a great deal. I so appreciate your time today, because it made the film experience of watching it so much more richer to get to be able to talk to you about it as well. I must compliment you, because there's some beautiful shots in the book of the people you talk to and their bookshelves.
Yeah. I'm like sitting here right amidst my bookshelves now. So as a book lover, I had to put books in there.
Yeah.
You know.
it's just great. I mean, as a snoop, it's for me to see that on film. And especially the books that relate to the conversations you're having. I mean, it just makes it such a more eye appealing process for me. So I appreciated that. It's been nice talking again. Thanks for this.
Hey, thank you for taking the time and for the kind words and you know, and for engaging with this film that we and when I say we, it's a collective process. You know, a film is never made just by the director, but we put so much work and intention into it, and so I'm very happy that you took the time.
The film is What is Democracy?, and it's on at the Van City Theater beginning Friday, December 7th, and it has screenings Monday through Thursday next week. Visit VIFF.org for tickets and more information. Astra Taylor joined me on the line from New York City and Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.